17 are linked to contained outbreaks, 20 from routine testing, 28 are under investigation, and one case was from an individual in hotel quarantine. Six people are in intensive care and 23 in total are in hospital. The government says around 10,000 people have refused to be tested. Mr. Andrews says one person can be the difference in this current situation.
You don't have to live in a hotspot postcode to follow the rules. And if people don't follow the rules, then you will be living in a hotspot postcode because I'll have no choice but to shut down more and more parts of our city and potentially our state. We don't want it to get to that.
Well, in New South Wales, a positive case of a Woolworths worker in Sydney's Inner West has led to significant queues in drive-through testing sites. The state hasn't reported any new cases today. Globally, more than 10.8 million cases of COVID-19 have been reported and the death toll has surpassed 520,500. In the United States, the number of confirmed coronavirus cases per day has risen to a record high of more than 55,000. The infection curve has risen in 40 of the 50 states. Only a fortnight ago, the US states were reporting about 22,000 new cases a day, but it has now reported more than 40,000 cases for seven straight days and broken records for new cases 3 days in a row. Florida has reported the biggest increase of any state so far, recording over 10,000 new cases in a single day. Minister for Indigenous Australians Ken Wyatt has expressed optimism ahead of discussions on a draft national agreement on closing the gap. Mr. Wyatt will lead the meeting of the Joint Council. Indigenous groups say they'll tell the federal government that self-determination is the only way closing the gap targets can be achieved. The aim of today's virtual meeting is to agree on 16 new closing the gap targets. Mr. Wyatt has told Sky News there is a renewed focus within the coalition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peak organisations.
What I like about this round is the 51 peaks have been enthusiastic. They have worked extremely hard, but my colleagues in the state and territory jurisdictions have been very receptive because what we're focusing on is what are the outcomes.
The nation's retail trade grew more than originally thought in May. The Australian Bureau of Statistics has released revised figures today, saying the retail turnover rose 16.9%. That's 0.6% higher than the preliminary figure. The figures show a large increase in spending on clothing, footwear and personal accessories, while cafes, restaurants and takeaway food services saw an increase in spending of 30.3%. The ABS says the rise was a result of the reopening of physical stores and follows a significant drop in retail trade in April due to coronavirus-related restrictions. Now to sport, it's been announced the Western Bulldogs, Richmond and Carlton will be based in Queensland hubs as the AFL season continues. Earlier, Western Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge said there will likely be a couple of players from his side who may opt to stay home instead. Meantime, on the field tonight, Collingwood take on Essendon. And in tennis, Australia's number 9 ranked female player, Destiny Ayava, has defeated Storm Sanders in the final of the UTR Pro Series in Melbourne.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 17.5 degrees, looking towards a top of 18 today, which we will achieve, I believe. It's sunny. The winds are from the west, 20 kilometres an hour, increasing to 30 kilometres an hour in the afternoon. The sun will set at 1 minute to 5 this evening and back up again at 1 minute past 7 on Saturday morning. And the weather for Saturday, mostly sunny, 5 to 16. And Sunday, sunny, 5 to 18. Back to work week Monday, mostly sunny, 5 to 17. The moon is a waxing gibbous with full moon on Sunday.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Kemps Creek, Elizabeth Drive at Western Road. A hazard of a pothole and repairs are likely to take all day, and the westbound traffic is affected on Elizabeth Drive. Oh no. And Homebush Bay Drive, this is the unknown one. A truck crash, the M4 motorway G loop on ramp from Homebush Bay Drive is closed due to a truck crash with 2 or 4 westbound lanes closed. Heavy traffic conditions, avoid the area, avoid Homebush Bay, take another route. Roselle, Victoria Road at Quirk Street. Emergency roadwork, 1-3 westbound lanes closed. Exercise caution and check the signage. Quirk Street is closed due to Sydney water emergency. There we go. And the lane closure of Victoria Road facilitates this. So a quirky situation at Quirk Street in Roselle this afternoon. It's 5 minutes past one, a lovely sunny day, warm in the studio, Business Insight suits Mario.
It's windy outside, so like, you know, everybody, do not try to do sailing, you know, I mean, the parachuting, nothing like this, you know, because you're going to be blow up in another state, which is not so welcome, you know, I mean, because of the COVID-19 and our guest in studio, Matt Koopman. Matt Koopman, before we ended up our first part of the show, we spoke about encryption and why the corporations need to take it more into consideration and you know, implemented the risk management framework for almost 3.5 months, and it still continue. Most corporations employees working from home, and they're using devices which that, you know, obviously their home devices, and the internet is paid. But we spoke about encryption. Now, for me only, or now listeners who doesn't understand what encryption means actually.
So In the Roman times, Julius Caesar invented a method of communicating in such a way, that is Caesar cipher, so that the messenger bringing the message across, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles on horseback, when they were caught, that no one could decipher it without the key. Now, that is the first of encryption. And digital encryption works the same way, just a lot faster. Right? We don't have to bring it around with horse goes the speed of light through the network. And what it means is that in transit between the two endpoints, so you're an endpoint and your recipient of the message is an endpoint, you cannot read the message without the key. Now, what is important in encryption is it end-to-end? In other words, for the entire route that the horse is riding, is that message still encrypted? The second thing is, where's the key? Who holds the key? It should only be you and the recipient. And if there's anyone else issuing the key, that you go like, well, I don't want you to issue that key. I don't want you to hold that key, because they can decrypt that message as well. So that's from an encryption perspective in a non-technical term.
And really, another level is that I don't want you to have my key, but I do want to talk with you as well.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying that the public-private keys as well.
The public and private keys. Yeah, so how it works, I don't want to go too technical, but basically you have one private key that says, okay, no one, this is my secret key. This is how I encrypt the message, but you can decrypt it with my public key.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how it technically would work. So in the old days, you didn't have public and private keys because there was no back and forth, right? I mean, it took months sometimes for a messenger to come through. So that's a techno speaker. But in the simple analogy is, you got a key to decrypt the message. You just need to be aware that only you and the intended recipient has that key and no one else.
Thinking about how we can do this, is that a simple thing for people to do? So Mario and myself, can we start talking about the secrets of Business Insights with encryption? Or does it take a bit of a setup or special software?
Well, the nice thing is you don't have to think about it. You can actually use off-the-shelf software, right, that actually does do the encryption, but you need to read the terms and conditions. You need to be a little bit educated on what's going on in the market. For instance, the video conferencing software that we were talking about earlier, if large companies like SpaceX or some even councils and provincial governments in some areas saying, don't use that because we cannot guarantee that it's fully encrypted, and there are also security bulletins saying, like, we don't recommend you using this software.
Yeah.
They would say, like, maybe we shouldn't be using that software.
So why we don't read this thing? Fine prints, you know, page 17, the bottom, you know, I mean, it says don't
no one reads
it,
right? And they're
I'm
written.
I'm the first one who doesn't, you know, I mean, like, because, you know, I'll talk to experts like yourself or Darren, and I know what when you're suggesting something, I know it's a proper. So why are we not reading this?
Because they're written in a way to make sure you don't read them.
Sorry, can you say in English again?
It's written in a way to make sure you don't read them. Right?
No.
They discourage you from reading it. Because if you read it and it's very clear what they do, you're like, I may not agree with that. So if I were, so for instance, there's a very famous grammar checker online. No one reads the terms and conditions, but actually if you read it through, who owns the IP? Well, actually they own it. What you wrote, they own. There's a presentation software online. It's beautiful presentations.
Oh, so
who owns the IP?
Darren, did you dump my grammar? Grammar?
Wait a minute. So you're saying, just to repeat that and kind of get it in simple talk, my voice is my IP, but they're taking my voice, creating words, and then they're claiming IP on the words that they've created.
So think around, you're typing a manuscript for a book.
Yeah.
Right? And you're typing away. You go like, well, you know what? I can't pay for a proofreader. Let me go online with this free tool that checks my grammar.
Oh, grammar checker. Right? Not a dictation.
Not a dictation, okay, right? Yeah, yeah. And you are like, oh, this is very, very convenient. And it's technically very good software. Right? There's nothing wrong with it. Except if you read the terms and conditions, well, we kind of own your IP now. Right? And you go like, well, they're not going to sell my book. But actually, they could. Now, imagine this.
So if I had words like, I love Mario, and they change, well, in business, it should be I admired Mario.
Mm-hmm.
They're claiming they own admire of your
Well, they
your
may, the combination of the words. You can't claim a single word.
Wow.
But it's the context of the text that
That's
they don't
amazing.
Know. So imagine this, right? That. You write a document for your client. And you go like, well, you know what? This is a very important report. I want to have it grammar checked. And you check that. But you have a non-disclosure agreement with your client. Which means you are not allowed to disclose anything that you negotiate with the client, but you do on behalf of the client. Technically, you're in breach of that agreement the moment you upload it to that software. Now, here's a real thing to remember. If you don't pay for the product, you are the product.
Mm.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. If you don't pay for the product, you are the product.
Social media. In a nutshell,
exactly. it is not that's a good one. So, like, you know, we spoke about encryption. Sorry, I'm full of the questions. Now we speak about encryption, and before the COVID-19, most of corporations encouraged it. And as you said in the first part of the show, we spoke about Ferrari, analogy about Ferrari, and you know, everybody was jumping on a cloud computing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to understand what the freaking is a cloud computing. I know it's not cloud physically, but when I was talking to my clients, I said, like, why would you do cloud computing when you can buy the server for yourself and install, regardless of your garage or, you know, your home or your office, whatever it is, but it's yours, you can see it visibly.
Mm.
Now, everybody was jumping the wagon, the Ferrari we spoke in the beginning, and everybody will do the cloud computing. Now, I always have the doubts, once when you release your data to somebody somewhere, somehow, to be stored on data cloud, whatever it's calling, you physically have no control over your like, you can tell me encryption whatever you want, but somebody must maintain this software. Somebody can come with the USB data and correct me if I'm dumb. Maybe I'm dumb, but whatever the farm it is, freaking with all these machines, you know what I mean, somebody must come and switch off on maintenance, or simply can say like, oh, let me plug my USB inside, my client in Australia doesn't see me. And looks like very interesting, the new recipe Darren and Mario making, I mean, for the new burger, and it's down. Mm. Am I wrong? Or?
So look at it this way, Mario. The cloud computing is, you put your data into an area that you don't control, right? That's exactly what it is. It's just someone else owns the server. It's a little bit more than that because you got cloud scalability in it, et cetera. But let's just put very simply, I put my data in another data center.
Yeah.
That other data center has got a lot of other data from other companies, right?
Yeah.
And they are built on trust. So if that data starts leaking, you go like, oh, I'm not going to pay them to put my data anywhere. I'm just going to stay away. So they have a lot of investment in security. And that investment is across the whole platform.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put your data in your own garage, like, I own it. It's mine. No one can access it. Yeah, but you still need to expose that to the network. Which means you open it up to the internet because you want to be able to work with it, right? Because the most secure computer is the one that you don't switch on.
Or physically, your garage door is not too strong.
For instance, right? I mean, that's another thing. It's like physical security. Mm-hmm. I can still go into your garage and steal your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So how much can you afford to invest to just save one data center, which is yours, your own data server, versus the cloud companies that have thousands of customers in there, and they know they're a target, but also they know they have to keep continuously investing in it. So it comes down to read the terms and conditions of your provider. That's number one. Number two is have it set up by people that know what they're doing. Right? There's a lot of things in a particular giant book seller that also is a cloud provider online. Like, oh, they're not insecure. It's just not set up correctly. Right, so it's, if there's a lot of manual setup, you need to get a professional to do it, and then read through. Okay, how do they encrypt the data? What are their policies on data security? Who can access the data center? How is that secured? You know, it's
what do you think in percentage? How many businesses from Australia went in a server farm to see how it's stored?
I used to do that in the Netherlands when we went out for clients into a data center, although there was no cloud yet because we're talking about early 2000s, but it's still a data center, right? So you had your own rack space and this stuff, but the security then is taken very seriously. It's not just security, also the continuity plans, like what if this happens, does it continue running?
I've done that exactly to see, well, what's the power?
But you're the only two people I know. Massive. Like you're the only two people I know who went to do the cloud computing check.
Well, it's two people in the room that you know, and it's 100% of the people in the room that you know. That's not you. So the sample size is too small to say anything, right? It's
no. The diversity of sample, I think, is very low.
But you see, that's my problem. Is like corporations rely on the data, and it's all the data being collected. Now, in my line of work, you know, everything what's on the internet, I will say 90% it's misleading disinformation, and they're not real. And, you know, nobody can convince me that any software can do the data analysis based on social media, because social media, it's unrealistic, except if you don't know the source and reliability, and you can validate that information. But, you know, when we talk about businesses, you know, regardless of the SMEs or large corporations, can you tell me the pitfalls? What to look when they're digitizing the business? What's the pitfalls, as I said, to digitize the business? Which we are basically in digital. Even stations, all digital, you know what I mean? So.
So the first one I mentioned before, right, it's the user itself. Now, the decisions we make day to day. So for instance, like, oh, I don't really like this software that I'm supposed to use from the company, but I found this free other software somewhere else. It's called Maverick Software, right? You just use something else that's not sanctioned by your business. You don't know if that's secure. You don't know where they're downloading it from, particularly if you're on the most used platform in the world, which is Windows. How you download software in Windows, you actually have to go to a website, download it, and execute it. Right? You don't know if that's, you know,
secure.
The secure way, if that's actually not being tampered with. There's a lot of malware that comes in, by the way, with virus scanners that you download for free. Right, and Android phones is with malware.
That ironically, download an antivirus software, and then you actually upload this virus itself.
So that's just us doing silly things we know we're not supposed to do, but it makes our lives easier. But the other thing is, it's not just on the security things in working from home, right? It's also how do you enable productivity? How do you actually, when you can't speak with each other and sit face to face, how do you maintain productivity? And before, we used to manage time as in the office, is you clock in and then 8 hours later you clock out.
Yeah.
You know, that's presence rewards, present-based awards. It doesn't matter what you do. Then we got activity-based awards, right? So I'm going to do a lot of stuff. And at the end, look at what the stuff I've done, right? So carrying big stacks of paper around in the office used to be a good idea for promotion because you're busy. So you're obviously very valuable. And we're actually now looking at like, no, we need to reward people on outcome.
Yeah.
What have you achieved? And what does it do for the business? And that's a whole new way of collaboration that's now becoming more and more prevalent during the COVID crisis. Because I can't see if you're busy. I don't see you walking around with stacks of paper. I don't see you, you know, on back-to-back meetings. And I used to make a joke when I worked in corporate when someone told me, like, oh, so busy, back-to-back meetings the whole week. And I was like, well, when do you do your work then? Right? Talking about work is actually not getting things done.
Indeed.
So that's the other thing, is like, how do you maintain productivity? And how do you make sure that data is available to people when they need it, but not available to those that have no access to it? So for instance, printers are inherently insecure. Because once it's on paper, you can't encrypt it. And you can destroy it, but it's there, right? Fax machines, you know, they're still used in the medical profession a lot, actually, is inherently insecure. If you scan a piece of paper for your office because you get a paper, it's throw away the paper, destroy it, and all that stuff. So those principles that you have in the office, you got a secure bin for destruction.
Yeah.
You don't have in your home. So if you do work with secure data, is make sure that either if you do need to print it because, you know, you can't read it from the screen, that you also give the destruction equipment there that actually does the shredding.
But Australia has a tendency, and you know, I wrote an article about digital clean desk policy, and I included the trash as a trash, you know what I mean? And, you know, trash, it doesn't belong to nobody. And, you know, in my line of work, we used to be taking garbage bins very seriously, and you know, we investigate the garbage bins. Now corporations, they do destructions and everything else, but however, there was a couple big mistakes by some major banks in past, you know, I mean, that where the documents actually ended up in Asia, you know, I mean, shredded. You remember, not remember as I remember, but 1980, Iran Contra, you know, I mean, the American embassy, they shredded everything, but they spent months to, you know, to stick these things. Well, we'll take a short break. You're listening to Live 90.5 Businesses in Mario, and Darren and I will guide you through the short break, and our guest Matt Coupon, he's going to get the breather.
Alive 90.5.
Nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
Hey fellas, need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21 Winston Hills Mall and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.
One, two. Two in three child car seats are not being used properly. And if you don't put your child in their car seat correctly, they're seven times more likely to sustain life-threatening injuries in the event of a crash. They're counting on you. Make sure your child is safe. Find out at childcarseats.com.au. A message from the New South Wales Government.
This is your local radio station, Alive 90.5, keeping you up to date with local issues and events in the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas.
One, it's 17.5 degrees, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario.
Thank you to all listeners, sponsors of Alive 90.5. Thank you for putting trust in myself and Darren to, you know, bringing you the guests who not just empowering you, sharing their knowledge, but as well the sharing their experiences, which is the most invaluable experience they can share with you. Reason for that it is because we try to give you the insights and tips how to run more profitable, more productive business, but not just a business, but a life as well. Saying that, you know, I would like to continue our conversation interview with Matt Koopman from Aurelian Group. We spoke about cloud computing, which I don't understand nothing. If you would like to have more questions, you know, you understand better, go on our live 90.5 FM, 905.com.au. Later on today, you're going to hear the entire interview with Matt Koopmans. And Matt, we spoke about digitalizing business. And now, what's the over-engineering and under-engineering when you're talking about digitalizing business? Does that mean I should have a 2 Tinder apps or the less?
So when you talk about a digital business, we're not just looking at like, okay, now I'm using a computer, right? What you're actually doing is I'm spending most of my time working for the customer. That's the important thing to look at. Like, what am I doing for the customer and how does my digital business enable me to maximize the time? So for instance, if you're in the business of, let's say, a plumbing service, right, and you got the plumbers running around and, and you're doing all the work. The more time you spend on administration, which is doing the invoicing, collating all the purchase bills, capturing the expense bills, doing the payroll, the less time you actually spend in front of the customer. And let's not forget, that's why we went into business, right? A gardener did not go into business to do his accounting, to do his expense management, right? They went in there because they got a love for the product and a love for the gardens of their clients, and they love to see their clients happy. So whatever business you're in, unless you're like me and you're in the business applications business, or you're an accountant or bookkeeper, you're in the bookkeeping business, your business model is probably something else, which is helping your customers be successful. So for me, as a vendor and implementation partner and managed services provider, for small and mid-sized businesses, my success is not just measured on your success. My success is measured on your ability to be successful for your clients. Wow. So I like to see that as a customer success chain. So a lot of larger vendors, they have these customer success managers, you know, as a new role. It's very fashionable. You need to check on how are they managed. Is there a key performance indicator how many licenses you consume? Is that called success? And in my book, it's not. Success for my clients, in my viewpoint, is they can add more value to their customers by having all the non-value add activities as much as possible automated. Right? So the transaction flow goes in, and once you've entered a transaction, it flows through the system. You don't have to enter it again. Right, so you don't have to export it to a spreadsheet and then upload it into another program and massage it and do stuff and then press a button, because if you don't do it, then your customers get upset. That's not success. Success is that stuff is done. So it should I be focus on my customers.
Set and forget. But it should be happening for you, and you should be alerted when the problem is, rather than thinking that the success of the process is all about you and being smart with Excel.
Correct. It's and it's set and forget. It's more you come into a discipline, and a discipline is a sensible discipline. So, for instance, I used to travel around the world and do projects, and part of the projects is the costing is my expense receipts. If I didn't have the discipline to actually put the receipts into the system broke. I didn't have to do anything else. All I had to do is take the photograph with my phone. and type in what it was for. That's it. And the rest would happen. But if I didn't do it, the system breaks. So there's still a little bit of discipline you need to have, right? It's not that it's going to run your business for you. Mm. You still need to call your customers. You still need to sell. But by making things simpler, by as simple as take a photograph of your receipt, the application scans it and fills out what it can fill out for you. You only have to manage the gaps. Is a lot better than that shoebox that you have with all the receipts. And after 3 months, you're going, oh, that really needs to go to the bookkeeper. And the bookkeeper goes, yeah, I'm not going to accept that. Can you put it in an Excel sheet for me and itemizing what it's for, and then I'll put it in the system. Now, then you've both wasted a lot of time. So right? So
just taking that example, if I'm a small business owner, and maybe I don't have time or discipline, or think that it's best that someone else takes the receipt and deals with it, how can we actually make for someone who thinks they don't have time as simple as possible just to deal with that receipt at the point of transaction?
So it has to do with instant and delayed gratification.
Ooh,
right? So instant gratification is, I don't have time right now, I don't want to be bothered with it. Right? But you still have to do it because, as I said, the bookkeeper is not going to do anything with a box full of receipts if you haven't itemized them. So you're only moving the time away to a future point. And well, the way I look at it, and I told you I was from the Netherlands, and I told you how we think about money.
Every receipt
has a GST component. Yeah. And I don't mind paying tax. I mind paying too much tax. So I want to claim that back. So for me, every phone, and it's just literally with my phone, I open the app, see the receipt, tick, send it to the cloud, and do the rest. At the end of the day, or the end of the week, or the end of the month, it doesn't matter. It's already there. I just have to classify this is what that's for. The sooner I do it, the less tedious the job is. Because very brief 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 30 seconds right now is a lot less than at the end of the 3 months. Now I need to figure out what it was. That takes me hours.
Even if someone doesn't have a system, taking the photo at the point will mean that the receipt's not faded. They come to look at it 6 months down the track and it's white. Well, all white. What was it? No idea.
That's one of them. But the other thing is also you lose the receipts. But the receipt doesn't capture what it was for. So you have to write on the back like, oh yeah, this was for that. This was for this project. This needs to be claimed here. If you take the photo and if you have the right apps, right? So I obviously represent the software that has all the apps and it actually puts it through. The moment it hits your books, now guess what? You're going to get an audit at some time, right? It can happen to you. So they're going like, well, you have all these receipts. Can you show me the copy? So you just have to go into your system saying, here's the transaction, here's the receipt. And by the way, the copy is in my system. I don't need to go back and keep the physical copy anywhere. You destroy the physical copy.
That's my next question now.
Right.
I tell you that my biggest fear. My biggest fear is not somebody will steal my data. To be honest with you, like, you know what I mean? Because most of the things, people can read in emails and everything else. And of course, they can create a picture. But my biggest problem is, what if I lose my data? And happened to me in Cairns Airport, I forgot my iPad, you know, screening, you know, oh, come on, rush.
No.
And I mean, the security companies, like, you know, same like that same on airport in Cairns was like the same in the hotel in Victoria, COVID-19 situation. And I forgot my iPad, Darren, you know what I mean? And I come sitting in plans like, where's my iPad? I want to watch Netflix. 3 days, I didn't sleep. Because I knew it I was using before, I didn't close properly. You know, I mean, just was open, and I think myself like it's access to all my social media, it's access to my email, that's enough to make a mess of my life. This is my biggest fear. What if I lose, you know, I mean, in terms of the data, not data, but device, you know what I mean? That's why I love the desktop, you know what I mean? It doesn't moving anymore.
so
the iPad is just for the research and everything else, just the basic things there, you know what I mean? But overall, this is my biggest fear.
So remember when I said we need to look differently at our devices, we need to look at it as a window into our business, not the actual business. So when I say that, it's like I log into my business from a device, whether it's a phone, a tablet, or a computer, or even in an internet cafe. I just open up a window. I just need to make sure I lock the window when I leave. But nothing is stored on that device. Now, for laptops that you bring with you, and you do have to have sometimes customer data on your laptop, mine is fully encrypted. So that means that before it boots up, I need to enter a very long and complicated password for it to boot up so that, you know, if I forget my laptop, which can happen, or it gets stolen, someone can't just boot it up from a key because, you know, your login credentials for Windows or Apple, that's all fine, but I can still boot up with a thumb drive and access your drive if it's not encrypted, right? So that's not secure. So those are things you need to think of. But if you treat data as in like, my device is not where I hold the data, that's just where I access the data. So if you lose your device, make sure it's locked and secured, that doesn't mean you lost the data. So when I upload my expense receipts, for instance, or I work on my customer documents, they're all stored in the cloud. And if there is a local copy I bring with me, I make sure it is.
Let's talk about cloud again.
Let's talk in the cloud again, right? It is stored in a server. No. That's stored in a server that I can access. But again, look at the cloud as your piece of storage that you can access with your secure methods. If you have your server in the garage or backup, right? You bring your backup home. If you don't put your backup in the safe, someone can come in here and steal your backup and decrypt it, or just open it if it's not encrypted. So your security may have other weak points that are in your control, whereas in the cloud, you read the vendor's policies, but they actually take care of that for you, so you don't have to think about it.
You were the right on the beginning. The number one security chain in IT security, it's a human. You're listening online, 90.5, Business Insights with Mario, Darren and I. Will take a short break with our guest, Matt Koopman. And the current time it is, Darren, 1:30.
It's 24 minutes to 2.
24 minutes to 2. My God, where the time is flying, eh?
Alive 90.5.
I believe I've waited long enough. Where do In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Chambers Cellars Winston Hills, proudly independent cellars, has a wide selection of wines from Australia's unique wine regions, as well as local and international beers and spirits. Pop in and meet Mark and the team, who will give you the best advice at the right price. Open 7 days a week, Chambers Cellars, your local cellars for all your entertaining needs and for relaxation. Chambers Cellars, station sponsor.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
It's 18 minutes to 2. You're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Oh, Darren, we are closing fast to the end of the show today, Friday, on the 3rd of July, and really July. When is the spring, Darren? In a couple of days or no?
No, another month maybe, but the days are getting longer.
Why is that there? Why is that? What was the date, like a longer?
The 22nd of June.
Yeah, it was the shortest day. Yeah. And that's
the winter solstice.
Yeah, oh my God, I can't wait to become the spring. You know what I mean? I can run with my six pack around and show that, you know, my muscles, you know, again during the COVID, it's one big muscle in my stomach. But our guest in studio, Matt Cooper. Matt, you know, we're soon gonna finish our show. It's 20 minutes. So your company, Aurelian Group, what it is and how you're helping your clients?
So we offer, you know, support and help with
boring, and I mean you can continue next time. So like okay, so please continue, yeah, right?
So we look
no,
at
no,
it
no,
and
no, no, no.
We disrupt the market for implementations of software. So the way I, you know, we had a discussion before the show is like, why do big projects always are so challenging? And that's because they're big projects. And I go like, okay, what is the disruption that needs to happen in this market? Is we need to stop selling the people we have on the bench helping you get the software running and actually get the software running. And the way we do that is we got managed services. In other words, is you don't subscribe to software, you don't subscribe to our service, we actually deliver you the outcome. So for a fixed fee per month, we're going to set it up for you and we're going to maintain it for you, enhance it for you based on what you need in your business. And we got business plans for ranging from solopreneur to the corporate plans, right? So the various steps in there. And the way that that works is the small business, first of all, as a solopreneur, you can't afford $1 million to get your software running.
So what's that word again? Solopreneur.
Solopreneur. You're an entrepreneur by yourself.
Okay.
Right? And you start up your business, so you don't have, you know, a very large budget to spend. But here's the other side of it. You also don't have the appetite for having too much things happening in your business at once. You want to have small steps. A micro business, 2 to 4 people. You can do a little bit more, right? Things get a little bit more complex. But again, you're not going to have a full enterprise system switching on like a light switch, because everybody goes like, sorry, we're busy with our customers right now, right? We can't spare the manpower. Whereas a corporate can do multiple things at once, etc. So the way that we've scaled this is saying, okay, we want to keep the cost per month flat. And so it doesn't matter if we're implementing your software or maintaining it or etc. It's there's no spike when you buy it and get it working and then it dies down again. And we keep it flat so it's predictable and affordable.
So an analogy might be like if you want lights on, normally if you didn't have a light, you didn't have a light switch, all the wires, you have to get the electrician in, you
correct,
have to have the wires, someone's got to choose the light switch, you need to have the light and things
exactly,
like that. So what you're saying is there is a way to provide the lights for a minimal cost, and whenever you need a light in a room, you'll have it.
Yeah, so it's a very good analogy. You don't actually pay for all the investment to get it up and running. You basically pay the rent for using it. In that rent, we obviously, you know, I do want to make money. I want to eat, got a family, right? I can lose a few kilos. That's okay, but not too long, right? So it's but we spread it out over a number of months, which means for a business, a small business, your cash flow predictions are a lot easier to predict, right? Because it's a fixed fee, regardless of what we're going to do. From my perspective, I scale it down with the velocity that your business can handle. And as I said, a solopreneur, it's okay, I can, you know, implement maybe 50 products in 3 months, use a solopreneur, because my head is spinning. I just want to know how to do this right now and do it well and then do the next thing.
So how do you manage? So I'm a solopreneur and then I go and meet Mario at the bar and Mario and I go, yep, let's go into business because we've got great ideas we want to take on the world and earn millions. Mm. And in 6 months' time, we actually have tripled our revenue.
Fantastic.
And, well, what do you do then when we may need a lot more of your services?
Well, so if your solopreneur is growing, and I see that as a success, because what's my success? Your success delivering value to your customer. So we must be doing something well together, right?
True.
So if you're growing your revenue, you're hiring new people, then what got you to this position is now going to scale up as well with you. So you go into a different plan. You go like, well, I used to pay this, but now that. But think about it this way. We actually get you to the next level in your business. So you went from your first level. We proved that we can do something.
So like the pyramid, now we need the pyramids, to start scaling you've got it. Those big blocks, but yeah. Maybe small blocks, but you're kind of going up.
Sounds like Lego. Sounds like Lego.
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 Fantastic.
When you say like
are we allowed to say Lego?
No. But you see, like, you know, that this is the beauty of this show, man. Mm. And I'm truly grateful that you're today with us. Most of us, including me, are uneducated IT people, and I'm an educated IT person. And it's like after many falls and many mistakes, you know, I was put in grace by life that I met people like yourself or Darren, who can, you know, I mean, just by the virtue of the presence as yourself and Darren, to tell me, man, this is a good software for you, and I mean, you can use it, and you know, take a lot of testings. You know, I mean, that's the reason why, you know, I'm throwing with the experts, but many businesses, they don't know this. They're buying. Again, this is the trick. I bought a new laptop, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, okay, the Word document is there. Let me type it straight away. Oh, dear Mr. Bix, can you please enter the your cloud computing something, you know, that company, whatever it is, right? I mean, it's
your
like...
License.
I need to buy. It's like I just spent like, $20 million on that laptop, you know what I mean? Like, and I still need to buy, Darren. I was like, why is that? So this is upselling now. Mm. We'll take a short break and we'll come back for the few more questions before we ending. You're listening Alive 90.5 Businesses with Mario. Later on today on our website, alive905.com.au, you can hear the interview with Matt Coupons from Raring Group. And now we'll take a short break. Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Downtown. Don't hang around. Let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The light's so much brighter there. Can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight.
care. We can forget all our troubles, forget all our cares. So go downtown, things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more, downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
Here's Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hill Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
You are listening to Alive 90.5, serving the Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas since 1992.
Seven minutes to two, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario.
And our guest in studio, Matt Koopman from Aurelian Group. It's time to wind up our episode, season two of the Business with Mario. I'd like to say big thanks to all our listeners in Australia and overseas, everybody who's tuning in and listen to the podcast on alive905.com.au. And it's time to wind up this episode because Darren, he says, it's going to be nice, a very warm weekend, Matt. I know you don't have the many social media, but you know, outlets, but we're going to anyway post some pictures of you and, you know, I mean, and podcast and everything else. However, for our listeners who are interested in this integration of these processes, you know, I mean, and choosing good software, what platforms, and, you know more about security, how they can reach you.
So the easiest way to find me is actually on LinkedIn. That's the only social media platform I actually on. So I'm not on Facebook, not on Instagram, not on Twitter. Yeah. I'm only on LinkedIn. And just search for Matt Koopmans.
Yeah.
I'm the only one here in the Sydney area.
Yeah.
My company name is Aurelian Group, named after the Roman Emperor Aurelian. That's Aurelian and then -group.com. Or you can go to getmybusinessdigital.com.
Okay, before we end up this episode, it's a battle, it's a war between me and Darren. We try to, you know, do some census here. Here in Australia, what did you say, 15 years now, right?
2006 we came here, yes.
Okay, 14 years. 14 years, okay. So what do you prefer, more Vegemite or Marmite?
Neither.
Oh, God, thank you, Darren. You are in trouble this time. This is the first guest in season two of Business with Mario.
What do you have on your toast?
What do you have on
toast? No, not Vegemite or Marmite.
Oh, so what you have?
So I will either put some avocado on there or...
Well, are you a vegetarian?
No.
Why avocado?
You can have avocado with bacon as well.
Okay. The keto diet doing, that's what it is.
But it's I don't understand the Vegemite and Marmite, but my youngest son loves it, so
it's Aussie thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Align 90.5 FM interview with Matt Koopman from Aurelian Group. It's going to be late on today. Thanks to Danny Capes Davis, the engine behind this sound, this most sexiest, awesome, professional, productive radio station in the universe, Alive 90.5. And of course, my lovely sexy voice with my awesome English, which you don't understand. You can hear it later on the website, alive905.com.au, and search under Businesses in Mario, and tune in following Wednesday. Till then, stay with us.
And coming up next, we have the guys from the past, Paul and Steve. No! Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Alive 90.5.
Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.